I'm only going to bring a short message because we're having a baptism today. Yes. So you might get wet when you get when Kezia goes in because it's kind of a wobbly, but that's all right. We'll get wet again. It's just so exciting to have a baptism. I just love it. So I'm just going to share briefly this morning, then I'll talk a wee bit on baptism because it's a good thing to do. And also, Kezia's parents, it's their wedding anniversary today, so that is amazing, especially on her day. So congratulations. How many years? 16. That's awesome. Congratulations. Wonderful. So, and I just, when we have baptism, just if you have a scripture to give Kezia or a prophetic word, just wait on it because we want to have time that she is totally blessed, that she remembers this day like never before. I remember the day that I got baptized, it wasn't in a Pentecostal church and I never got any prophetic words, but I've had plenty since. But it still meant a lot to me, you know, and the skinny little man baptized us and we were quite solid, and my twin sister, and I'm going, hope he can get us up again. It's more I was worried about than anything else, but I always remember the scripture he gave me, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain. Remember that scripture, and I'm going, well, I'm always going to be steadfast right to the end. Yes, so awesome. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the anointing, Lord. People have been touched. I thank you for what you're doing in this place. I thank you, Lord, that you are here. And Holy Spirit, we just welcome you to come. We just say, come even more. I know that you've been in the worship and you've been in everything and in the communion. But we just want more of your presence. We just want you to come. And Lord, as Clive brought that prophetic word and how the worship was on, oh, how I love your presence. And we do, we acknowledge your presence. We acknowledge, Lord, that we are so blessed in this land. We are blessed to know you. We're blessed, Lord, to have this building. We are so blessed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord just gave me one word to preach on. Know that it is we're in the hour of an urgent. The Lord's return is so close, and as I've dwelt on it, I don't know. I've never had so much feeling of sadness of my family not walking with the Lord. You know, because if the Lord returned, I know they won't be with me in heaven. And I don't know why, but it's this week, it's really, I look at people and I think they don't know Jesus. And I think the Lord gave me this word, do not be complacent. And I'm going to tell you the meaning, and that was right from heaven. You know, when you get a word from heaven, God is saying, this is not the hour to be complacent. And looking up the meaning, this is interesting. Complacent. You can't afford to be complacent about your security. Feeling so satisfied with your own abilities or situation that you feel you do not need to try any harder. You're content. You gloat. You've got pride. You rest in it. Your self-fulfillment. You're self-satisfied, smug. That'll do nicely. Unawareness of the actual dangers or deficiencies. Isn't that powerful? And that's the word the Lord gave me today, to say that we are not in this hour to be complacent. And I just thought, unaware of the actual dangers or deficiencies, you know. And as I talk with my family and see where they're at, Noel did an old video of my mother and the grandchildren are putting makeup all on it, but it just took me back to the time, that was what, I don't know, 1997, but she only just got into heaven on her deathbed. I know that I'll meet her again. But, you know, all the rest of the family, I'm going, God, I can't be complacent. I've got to pray and pray and pray and pray and intercede and not miss an opportunity of telling them about Jesus. We just, sometimes, you know, I missed an opportunity. My daughter-in-law was talking with my oldest grandchild about alcohol and how you use it and what you do. And I just sat there and I was feeling so grieved. But I should have actually said, please, this grieves my heart. This is not what I want to hear. Because I love Jesus. And I believe we're so complacent in some areas that we're scared to offend. We're scared to speak out. But God gives us opportunities. I know when I've missed. I know when I miss because I feel the grief of the Holy Spirit. And God said, don't be satisfied where you're at. And this is for all of us. Don't be satisfied where you are at. You know, don't rest in your morals. Don't just gloat and content. Because God said, I believe the Lord's return is so close. So, so close. And we have the answers. But we are, and me included, is complacent. And I want every opportunity to speak about Jesus. I mean, sometimes it comes out of me in the wrong places when you get a tooth pulled out and I'm going, you know, I was just thinking, thank you, Jesus, it's out. But he knew I was a Christian. And the Lord has been sharing with me so much. We've got to be alert. We've got to be watchful. We've got to take every opportunity to carry the presence of God, to speak about God. And don't let the atmosphere of the demonic realm pull you down. I go into my family and I'm just thinking, they're not even going to talk to me because I'm a Christian. They don't, you know, they don't relate because you're different. And I go already rejected. And I go in there thinking, they won't even want to listen to me. But God has been saying, don't be complacent. Be filled up with the Holy Spirit. Be filled to overflow. Go in there because God is greater in us than he that is in the world. And we can change the atmosphere. And I just feel this so strongly in my spirit that God says, do not pull back. Don't ever pull back. Don't ever miss an opportunity to talk about him. He is in us. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit's in us, the Father's in us, the Son. And when we don't share and we miss that opportunity, there's a grief in our heart. The Holy Spirit misses us. Jesus misses us. The Father just wants his son and his daughter to share what he's done for us. You know, I just love that we have communion every day and we have the cross because of what he has done for us. And it's just, Lord, I just want to break off every spirit of complacent, how would I say it? Complacency over us. Lord, I want to lift it off us that we're not ashamed of the gospel. Lord, that we will have a boldness. We will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we will talk about you wherever we go. We will make a difference. We will shift. We will not be complacent anymore, but we will show our families, our loved ones, our workmates, everything about you. We will not hold back, Lord, but we want to share because, Lord, you're coming back. there's going to be a harvest of souls. And God said that he looks, you know, his eyes go to and fro the earth. Whose ones? Who's got their eyes upon me? Whose hearts are ready that I can use in this hour? He's looking. He's looking, and we're looking down, or we're looking at one another and we're criticizing, or getting hurt, or getting offended. I know some of us live in it, and I understand that, Joanne. I'm not preaching at you, sweetheart. But it's like we can walk through and put our heads up and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I believe evangelism is going to fall even in a greater way. But we need that passion. You know, in Matthew 24:42-44, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And in 1 Thessalonians 3:13, that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God, Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. You know, there's such a time where God is establishing us into holiness and purity. He's establishing us to be that we go after him and share and not be complacent, not to hold back. You know, it grieves the Father and it grieves the Holy Spirit when we are ashamed of the gospel. We are crucifying him again, and that breaks my heart. But just think of your loved ones that do not know Jesus. Think of your loved ones that aren't walking with him. They've got to come into the kingdom. We're praying. But I just believe God's saying, we cannot sit down. You know, my children, none of them are walking with the Lord. I want them to be in glory. I want my grandchildren to be in glory. There was a video I sent it through on Facebook, but this lady died on theatre. She was having back surgery and she went to heaven, and she met her daughter had died 6 months before, and she met and talked with her daughter and they had an amazing time. But when she looked around, there were a few of her family that were not there. And the other thing, she had to come back, and she came back into a body that was so painful, so hurting, because her brain was cut off even in that time. And the Lord said to her, what grieves me the most is people don't love on me. They don't say how much they love me. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to say. He wants us to talk about him. He wants us to be proud that we are born again. You know, someone was saying that they were born again, how many years ago, Joy? This very day. Or was it you, Helena? Was it 2nd of February, born again, I don't know how many years ago, but isn't that what? 26 years ago. So give the Lord a clap. Yeah. Mine was May the 12th, and I was very little, 1957, so that is a long time ago. But I remember as a little girl going home into an alcoholic home and singing and worshipping. Pauline and I, we just sang the whole time, choruses, and we were just so pleased to be different than what our family was. You know, and Mum would say, can you get it a bit faster? You're doing the dishes slow. You know, so we'd get a song that was quicker so we could do it quicker. But, you know, I think Mum was really proud of us. But, you know, it is so hard out there. The world is getting so dark. And it just gets my heart so much that sometimes I'm weeping when I hear things. In school, they've been taught about, you know, you're either born male or female and you could change, and all this is coming in. All about gay marriages. They're teaching and preparing children. We've got to stand up. We can't be complacent anymore. There's things happening in this country that we have to say, God, please come and change this nation. Please come and touch us, that we are fireballs for the glory of God. You know, we worry about this and that, and we haven't got time, I promise you. If we just thought about Jesus, you know, one morning I got up and I was depressed, and I went to Chartwell having my lunch, and I think, what's wrong with me? And I'm going, oh. And the Lord said, you didn't spend any time with me this morning. You didn't praise me. You didn't thank me. You didn't read your utmost highest calling book. I read it every day. It's amazing. He said, you didn't do anything to edify my name. No wonder you are feeling like you're feeling. So I got home at lunchtime. Hallelujah. Well, actually, I started praising him there. Started blessing every person that was around me, saying, God, I love you. I adore you. You know, it doesn't take 2 seconds to just get back into the relationship with Jesus. He misses us. And we get up. We get depressed. If you're ever depressed, just say, have I been with Jesus today? Because he gives you the joy of the Lord. I'm going to finish soon. But the other thing that the Lord just said, you know, the story of the 10 virgins. And that's the time we're in. And we are also in the days of Noah. You know, they had plenty of warning. They were preached at, but they were smug. They were satisfied. They were unaware that they were in danger. Isn't this sound so familiar to what the time we're in now? They, you know, Noah got up and preached and he declared and he shared. And yet they perished because they would not listen. They were complacent. And you know, the 10 virgins, 5 were ready. That's in Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. They were complacent. Then all the virgins arose. And at the midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no less there should be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. You know, I even feel children that have been brought up in Christian homes, they think they're saved. I remember a lot of them when I was younger, and I'm going, why are they different? They're not talking about Jesus like we are. And then one of them got up about when they were about 20 and said they'd never been saved. They were under their parents, so they thought that the parents would get them into heaven. And that's why we have to teach our children the ways of God, to pray with them, to read the Word with them, to have that time. And you know, any opportunity with my grandchildren now, I just say, God, give me an opportunity to speak into their lives. My granddaughter, Ellie, she just always say, Nanny, you didn't pray. Or, Nanny, you've got to do this. And I'm just going, she is hearing me. She's hearing what Nana does. So I'm just going to leave it there. Father, I just pray that, Lord, we have a wake-up call. And, Lord, that we will just be so full of the glory of His presence. Lord, we breathed in Your Holy Spirit, but we want to be baptized with fire and with passion. Lord, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that You give people the time that we're in right now. Just let it come, Holy Spirit. Just fill us to overflowing with Your presence. Just fill us, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. And do you know, I'm going to talk to you older ones. I'm in my 70s, but I know you're in your 80s. Don't think your time is up now because God hasn't finished with you. And I got that from God. God's been preparing you for this time of the harvest of souls. Hallelujah. Let's just give the Lord a clap offering. I'll just get Nikki, we're just going to sing I Love You, Lord. Then I'm going to just speak a few bits about baptism. And Kezia, are you ready, or do you have to change, or you're right ready now? Oh, that's all right, you just stay then. So I just want us to stand and just tell the Lord you love Him and make a commitment in your heart that you're going to have a boldness. I believe the glory of God is in this room, these angelic realms. Just breathe in and just say, God, I am sorry for the times I haven't spoken about You. Lord, I am sorry that I have missed so many opportunities. And I have grieved You. But I want to be one that shares my love to other people, that they may receive You into their lives. Thank You, Jesus. I just want you to stand and just, as we sing this simple song, just sing it to Jesus.